Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. The Driftless area is a diverse, rich ecosystem, from its rolling hills to winding streams. In Wisconsin, it stretches as far north as St. Croix County, follows the Mississippi River to the Illinois border, and almost stretches as far east as Madison. Many of its residents know the area is special, and now the federal government is taking notice. The U.S. Department of Agriculture will be providing driftless area landowners with $1.2 million in conservation funding. It's coming from the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service and its Environmental Quality Incentives Program, better known as EQIP. Matt Otto is an NRCS resource conservationist based in Madison. He explains why the driftless area was singled out for federal funding.
We have a long history of conservation in the driftless area and a long history of demand from landowners, farmers. Seems to be a strong conservation ethic in that area, in all of Wisconsin, but especially in that area. And our funding has not been able to keep up with that demand, particularly as it relates to habitat for wildlife and some of these restoration efforts, as well as the traditional erosion control practices that our agency and other partners are involved in.
So $1.2 million is available to landowners through the USDA. I'm wondering if you can talk about who could qualify for these conservation funding.
Eligible applicants would include farmers, landowners that own farmland and possibly rent it out to a farmer, private forest landowners. All are eligible by virtue of having that land or having control of that land. And then we need to have a conservation need on that land to be eligible that we can address through our program. So those are the key aspects to eligibility.
And can you explain what the conservation needs are? Because there are a few things that are listed as far as what kind of qualifies for conservation preservation.
Right. We have our general program statewide. This is part of the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, which is part of the Natural Resources Conservation Service. But this is a special initiative within that EQIP program. And the focus here is on habitat restoration, erosion reduction, and reducing the sediment delivery to the streams in the area.
And why single those different categories out? Because conservation can be a number of things, but why is it those things that you're focusing on?
In that part of the state, in the driftless area, that's typically the type of practices that we don't have enough funding for, that we do have backlog in applications for. And we see a lot of interest and a lot of demand for those. And having this extra funding can help us get started on some of those unmet needs.
And the Department of Natural Resources is also working with you all on this program. And one thing that was kind of interesting to me when I was reading what they had written about the program is that the driftless area is vulnerable to soil erosion due to a number of things. Are you able to expand on that?
The driftless area has some very productive soils. However, they're very fragile due to their soil type, which is in many cases silt loam, which is erosive in and of itself. But then coupling that with the steep slopes that you find in the driftless area, we really have to take extra care to keep that topsoil on the land. And that's historically been the biggest resource concern in the driftless area. So, and that's actually how our agency got its start back in the 1930s in the driftless area with an experimental watershed in the Coon Creek watershed.
So this program, the funding through the EQIP program, it's just Wisconsin driftless area landowners, or are other states having similar programs like this?
Well, right now this year, this is a state initiative in Wisconsin, but the other states in the driftless area, Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota, also have a special initiative going on at the same time for the driftless area. But right now it's just considered a state initiative, and we're hoping that in the future perhaps it can become more of a regional initiative.
So I met with and I talked with a number of people who'd plan on applying for some of this funding, and some include land trusts. Another was a landowner who had a trout stream going through his property. It was a federal trout stream. And all of them talked about how there was almost a sense of urgency that they needed to apply for this. And the application is coming up. The deadline is coming up pretty soon.
Right. The deadline is August 3rd, a week from tomorrow, or a week from this Friday. And due to the late part of the year that we're in, we run on the federal fiscal year. So our year is over the end of September. So we do have a short window here for to accept these applications and then rank them, and then those that are funded to get them into contracts before the end of our fiscal year. So it did make our timelines fairly tight.
And is there some urgency? I mean, I know some people had mentioned that, you know, funding for conservation programs at the state and federal level, the future of it's a little uncertain just because, you know, budgets are becoming tighter and tighter. Are you able to address that? I mean, is there a future for conservation funding?
Well, yes, there is. There is definitely a future for conservation funding. Right now, the Farm Bill is being debated in Congress, and we don't know what the outcome of that is going to be yet. But that's what this program is funded through. It is a Farm Bill program, EQIP, and I know that there are talks to include EQIP in the next Farm Bill.
And
funding levels, we don't know yet for next year.
If someone applies for this and if they are awarded one of the grants, is this a matching grant? Do you have a set amount that you hope to give each person? I know it'd come on a case-by-case basis and depend on the project, but with $1.2 million, how many people are you hoping this reaches?
Well, it can really vary depending on the type of applications we get and the type of practices within them. But the landowner or the applicant would enter into a contract and would know up front how much they will receive for the practices that they intend to install. So it might be based on a per-foot basis, it might be on a per-acre basis. It all depends on what practice they've signed up for. And it is a set rate of payment that they know they can receive, and once completed, will receive that. And it is intended to be where EQIP covers the majority of the cost, but the intent is that part of the cost is also covered by the contract holder or the landowner.
And landowners will be working with, they'll be getting second opinions, correct, when it comes to figuring out how much the project would cost?
Right. They'll be working with our local offices. We have a local office in each county in the Driftless area, and those NRCS specialists will be working one-on-one with those landowners to help them estimate costs and help design the practices, the projects.
And people who do want to apply, the NRCS is helping them actually put together that application too, correct?
Correct. Yeah, and there are a number of things that that go into that, and they should try to get in as early as they can. I would not advise waiting until next Friday, but there's usually some other things. If people haven't participated in our programs before, there's a little bit more involved in the application process. So they may want to get in as early as they can.
So in the end, what do you hope that a program like this accomplishes for the Driftless area, not only for the land itself, but for the people?
Well, beginning with the land, we're hoping to get more perennial cover out on our working lands, and that may mean getting more grassed waterways in place on cropland. It may mean improving pastures to rotational managed systems, getting away from possibly a continuous grazed system. In our woodlands, increasing diversity for wildlife, particularly focused in on oak stands. Restoring and maintaining grasslands and oak savannas. There's not very much of that type of habitat left, and we have some practices that we can help interested people do that with. And then the trout streams, there's a lot of interest in those cold water, that unique cold water stream system that you'll find in the Driftless area. So trying to address all those types of ecosystems, and then helping the people, we want to raise the recognition for the Driftless area. It is such a unique area, and I think people sometimes can take that for granted. And once you get outside of this region, it's not very well known, and it is a treasure that we feel is very important to protect and conserve. So trying to raise that awareness and show that demand, and hopefully in the future build this initiative into a longer-term opportunity.
Matt Otto is a resource conservationist with the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. He talked about funding for driftless area conservation efforts. Landowners need to apply by next Friday. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. The driftless area is home to some of the most rare landscapes in the area. You're about to meet two landowners applying for the USDA's conservation funding for their unique land. The first is Mississippi Valley Conservancy. The La Crosse-based land trust oversees more than 14,000 acres of land in southwest Wisconsin. MVC Conservation Director George Howe will explain what they hope to accomplish with the funding, but first, he talks about the historical biology of the area.
I think more and more you're going to see that the driftless area is recognized as a very special area, geologically, biologically, culturally. And it's called the driftless area because there's a lack of glacial drift here. That means the continental glaciers didn't come through here and flatten everything, you know, 10 to 30,000 years ago. And so this landscape is much more ancient. It's had more time to evolve, so it has a tremendous biodiversity. The range of habitats and different microenvironments here are incredible. So there are more special resources, more rare things, and just a lot more cool things here to conserve. And so the special funding from the U.S. Department of Agriculture through the EQIP program is especially needed here because there's more at stake when the habitats degrade here from invasive species problems or lack of proper forestry. We have prairies and oak savannas disappearing because there's no wildfires anymore on the land, and a lack of grazing by natural herbivores. So this grant money will be very useful to this area because we have a lot of special resources, and it's getting national recognition more and more.
So what will Mississippi Valley Conservancy, what will you be applying for through the EQIP program?
We'll be applying for money to do mostly prairie and oak savanna restoration. We own quite a bit of land in western Wisconsin, and it's open to the public, and it's always our goal to improve it, restore it as well as we can, and it's great to have cost share money to do that. The oak savanna areas that we want to restore, those mostly need brush and tree removal and prescribed burning or prescribed fire to begin to create a more open environment like it used to be. The native species that we're encouraging with burning are fire tolerant, and the non-native species that we're trying to diminish or get rid of are not fire tolerant. So prescribed burning is a great method to bring back oak savannas. And oak savannas are basically prairie with some scattered oak trees. That's the rarest habitat on earth, right here in the driftless area. There's less than 1/100 of 1% of the original oak savannas left in the upper Midwest. So it's very important that we try to save some of them, and we've got some great ones, and we want to save more.
So the money will go towards land that MVC currently owns, or at least oversees?
Yes. We're a private entity, so we can apply for these lands. It's land that we own and manage. It's open to the public. And the grants are match. We will use our staff time and volunteers that come to us to help to come up with the rest of the match in kind.
Yes, taking a step back, I'm wondering if you can talk about the state of federal and state funding for conservation programs. I know a lot of people are, especially in this area, because we're in the driftless area, are excited about this. Is that just because it's singling out the driftless area, or because conservation funds from government are becoming a little more rare?
Well, I think people were excited about this because the word on the street was that this kind of funding was going to go away, that with the new farm bill, there wasn't going to be money for stuff like this. at least there was an old program. There still exists a program called WIP, and I had heard that that was not going to be funded anymore. But this EQIP, which is historically has been the same thing only for restoration just on working farms, they did keep that and targeted considerable funding to the driftless areas. So I think people were especially excited about it because they thought the funding was going to largely disappear for this kind of cost share.
So what happens if that funding does disappear, not only for MVC, but maybe for other landowners in the area and other land trusts like the MVC?
Well, if this is truly the last round of this type of help, you know, it's just going to mean that a lot of these natural communities that are rare, a lot of the diversity biologically that we have that's taken, you know, over a million years to create is going to disappear. There are other types of grants. There are private groups that do work, wonderful groups like the Prairie Enthusiasts. MVC would always do some work on its own no matter what. There are private landowners that do incredible work. But some of this stuff is quite expensive and people need help. And it's a benefit to all of us. Biodiversity is always priceless. You look at the medical cures and inventions and things that are coming from genetic information. You know, we can't afford to lose, you know, hundreds of native plants. We don't know how they could help us in the future. And they're important parts of our ecosystem. When you start to remove parts of the ecosystem, that has an effect on everything else. And ecologists that are wise and looking forward long term will tell you that we need to keep all the components of our ecosystems and that it does come around to affect us all in the long term when we lose biodiversity and we lose species.
George Howe is the conservation director with Mississippi Valley Conservancy. He talked about the driftless area and federal funding available to landowners. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Land trusts like MVC are able to apply for the driftless area conservation funding, but most applicants will be individuals, farmers, or forest landowners.
Well, what we're looking at here is part of a pasture that goes down into the neighbor's land, and on the other side is corn.
Don Schwartz owns farmland in Wilton. There's corn, cattle, and a cold water trout stream that winds through the land.
And this creek has been here and flowing here ever since before my time, before I can even remember. And to the best of my knowledge, in 1880, when the family bought it, this creek was still here. So this is a flat that's got small rolling hills in it, along with pasture and cornfield.
Schwartz is applying for the EQIP funds to help rehabilitate the stream, which is connected to the state trout pond and feeds into the Kickapoo River. His aunt began the process years ago, and the family hopes the newest round of funding will help them complete the project.
My Aunt Grace, about 6 years ago, had applied for some of the funding, and they did get some. So what they did was they hired a contractor, and they came in and they put some small cribs in, as I understand it, for the trout. And then the streams were dug out, on the banks were dug out, and riprap, new rock, was put in to preserve not only the stream, but to preserve the habitat for trout, as well as protect the pasture land from erosion.
So is this where you come trout fishing, you said?
When I was a kid, I trout fished here a lot, and there are still several people who do. And the farm was originally purchased by my great-grandfather in 1880 and has been in our family for 132 years. My grandfather, Louis, bought it from my great-grandfather in the 40s, I believe, and then in the 60s, late 60s, he sold it to my uncle, Kelvin, and they've had it ever since.
Do you have any idea if they were trout fishers?
Grandpa Schwartz was. So in the early 1900s, he fished here, and that's one of the reasons we really want to preserve it and keep the heritage going for the for the stream and for the area, really.
Why is it important to conserve this trout stream on your land?
I think the main reason to preserve the stream is in its natural habitat is to stop the erosion. Once these creeks erode, and as I understand it, keep eroding, it can take out farmers' fields. It can also erode back to the point with high water where you end up losing the habitat for trout. For example, if you have a spot in a creek that's 6 feet deep in one area that runs and then flows into some rocks and, you know, like a little falls, if that starts eroding back with high water levels, that spot will gradually become shallower and shallower and shallower. Not only does it then eat away the pasture and eat away the field, in return then you lose the habitat that was created in that deeper spot for not only trout but other species of minnows and other wildlife too that use it, including plant life that grows along watercress and other things that grow in some of those deeper spots.
Can you talk about how you decided you were going to apply for this funding through the EQIP program?
My aunt, Grace, originally applied years ago and worked with a gentleman named Greg Wheeler, who's been really good to help.
He's with the NRCS office in Sparta.
Correct, yes. And he's really the knowledge and the person who really knows how this program works and helps people. Without a person like Greg, the average landowner like myself would have no idea how to start. And what Greg has done also is put in place if the funding goes through, he works with engineers, and they make sure that the program is done in a way that is professional, and it's not just some guys coming out here and looking at the land and saying, oh, let's just throw some rock here, it'll help. I mean, they use engineers, and then them plans are given back to us, and then we go hire a contractor and pay a contractor to follow those plans to finish the project.
So then, since your aunt has also been working on stabilizing these banks for years, if this funding goes through and if you are approved for it, would the entire stream be stabilized at least for now?
All the stream that is on our property, this would finish the project, so it would all be stabilized.
So what would that mean for you and for your family?
Well, for me personally, it just means protecting the erosion in the land and then also keeping the trout habitat, which has been here since the 1800s, alive and well, you know, so the bait fish and the forage and the whole cycle can keep going. Without programs like this, it makes it hard for an individual. First of all, we wouldn't even know where to start. To, you know, you see the creek erode and you dump some rocks in with the approval of the DNR and you hope everything's okay. With a program like this, they tell you exactly what to do. So what it means is it's preservation for not only the land but for the habitat in the creek.
If the funding is not approved for your land, what will you do?
We'll just keep an eye on the areas that are eroding. And there's people like Greg Lau and with the USDA in Mauston, and Greg, you know, who's on a federal programs. Those folks are really willing to help you. So if you wouldn't get funding, they would come out here and walk it with you and say, here's what I think you should do to preserve your creek and to stop the erosion. And then there's a process to go through. You can't just go into a creek bottom and start digging with your backhoe and hope you're going to fix something. You can get in a lot of trouble. There's, you know, you have to follow the proper procedures with the DNR. And in areas where there's wetland, fortunately, this isn't considered a wetlands because of the higher banks. But in areas where there's wetlands, there's even more of a process to go through.
Don Schwartz owns a family farm in Wilton. He will be applying for USDA Natural Resources Conservation funding that's focused on the Driftless region. Landowners have until next Friday to apply. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Coming up, learn why some wild animals are finding themselves in unnatural habitats. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse.